school reunion. What about that reunion? Well, it wasn't a it wasn't really a reunion. It was just a reunion letter. Remember, because I went back to Milwaukee, and we ended up signing up 1, 2, 3. We have 2 All-Stars, 1 Master out of it. We are going back again in fact, this month, July, or not this month, I keep thinking it's July already, although it's coming close. I'm going to be back in Milwaukee in July for 2 nights, a Monday and Tuesday night. So we're going to spend more time there with a lot of the people. But the big thing was not even so much the high school class. I did get to see some of my high school buddies, which is a blast, as always. And all of them, because I'm 51 this year, they're all going through, menopause. And they're all, like, having hot flashes every day of their life, and they can't stand it. And so it's kind of cute, because we obviously have a solution for that, and they're very jealous that Mary Jo never gets any hot flashes. So we have good talks on that. But we've been very successful. We have, like, 3, I think we have 3 chiropractors and a health food store and a naturopath, and so Milwaukee is, we're going to make a real strong commitment to grow Milwaukee. So it's a, I think, kind of a fairly untapped town at this point in time. I don't know anyone who's really actively doing the business, a lot of business there. So we're excited. In July, you should, if you're on my email list, you guys should all be getting my calendar. I mean, Lydia sends it out the first of every month for the next 2 months. So she's already sent out June and July. And July 1st, which is coming up this week, she will send out my calendar of where I'm speaking July, August. So you'll see both a Milwaukee trip and a Montreal trip together with the other 200 trips, I think, that are on that schedule. I'm not spending much time at home. Yes. Love it. Who am I? Who is this? Okay, great. I wasn't sure it was you, Tim. Okay, good. I will email you just because, you know, my schedule doesn't look like I'm going to be able to necessarily convert all that language to French, although I feel capable of doing it at some stage. You know, in the next 2 months, I don't think it's going to happen because I'm too busy. But yeah, good. I will get in touch with you and see what we can do about that. Yeah, fun. It'll be a blast. Good, good. All right. Thanks for the contribution. Yeah. Yeah. Amy. Oh, let's get an update. Amy, this is Amy Martin. She just did a lot of training, a lot of stuff with me on chiropractors, and not in my organization, like many of you on the phone. But anyway, I've supported her a lot in chiropractic and going ahead. And she went to the Texas Chiropractic Association meeting this weekend in annual convention. How'd that go? Right. Yep. Right. Isn't that wonderful? Great. Oh, he's the one that's going under Mary Kelly. Oh, great. Great. So all he needed, see how that works too? All he needed was to see you and get third-party validation and boom. Yeah, great. Great, great, great. Yep. Thank you, Amy. Right. Right. Amen. Yep. Amen. Great. Good. So now you got a lot of work on follow-up. But so everybody get that. You know, this call is so great for that, too, because what Amy just did in Texas, every single state has a chiropractic association, and they have annual conventions. And what are you doing about that? And we can even send you out pictures of, you know, what we put together. Amy looked at what we were doing for the Science and Wellness Foundation with the ICA and those conventions. And all she did was just, I sent her a picture of what booth we put together, and she just duplicated it. So it's not a hard thing. And what? How much did it cost for you to do that, Amy? $100 or something to put the booth? Yep. Great. I love it. The energy is perfect. Okay, good. Good, good, good. So again, everybody step into it. That's a great opportunity. And Amy's right that if it doesn't matter. Some of you are saying, oh, I'm so new, I don't know how to do this, or da-da-da-da, or I don't have enough people to support this because it takes a lot of work. I've read your implementation book, Mary Jo, and it's a lot of time and energy. You bet it's some time and energy. But that means just like Amy did. She didn't have the depth in her organization of leaders to handle that. So what she did is she got cross-line people. And she just said, let's work together. We'll just share the leads. Oh, my goodness. You can't manage 50 chiropractors anyway, so don't even jump in and try to do that. So the concept is to get out there and help get a support group. You can do cross-line, down, whatever it takes. But these people are hungry, they're excited, and you have something totally different, and you have the endorsement by CJ Mertz and now being taught in the certification course. So it's just an open door, and you just have to decide to walk into it, and that's up to you to make that decision. So yeah. No, don't go to the ICA. Go to for Texas Chiropractic, go to Texas Chiropractic Association. For Alabama Chiropractic Association. Just type it in the internet and my goodness, you'll get overwhelmed. They all have their own websites, they all have their own telephone numbers, headquarters, everything. So, okay, you bet. Isn't that great? Yeah, great, great, great. So you'll be back again next year. Yeah, amen. Great. Good, good, good. You want to pop? Yeah, just some. Yeah. That was the least that was the cheapest amber toast you'll ever buy. You bet. Great. Uh-huh. Hi. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Oh, yeah, he's great. Great, nothing like that. There's a presidential chiropractor we have in Manitowoc who's a presidential speaking at a statewide convention. Isn't that great? Yeah, I'm telling you, people, it's a perfect fit. It's a hand in a glove how we fit with chiropractic. And it's just, if you're missing the boat on that, you're really missing the boat. You ought to step in and don't feel like you've gotten behind the eight ball because, I mean, this is just on the cusp. It's new. There are thousands and thousands and thousands of chiropractors out there that just need to hear from you. You just got to be ready to step up and communicate. But do get it down on how to implement because Amy couldn't be brighter than that. I mean, that's the whole issue here is that these guys have looked at it. They love the products. They've heard about them. They're satisfied they work. They've seen patients with miraculous results, but they don't see themselves as marketers. They don't see themselves managing inventory. So that's why they don't step forward. And you have the magic formula. All you got to do is get that implementation book, read it, understand it, and then you can share it with them. And they love the idea that somebody else is going to step up and do the work for them. All they need to do is basically say, hey, I tell all my patients they need to look at this science and they need to go to this seminar. And that's how they get their patients on the product. So. Okay, enough of that. Let's go forward. We've got a lot of stuff to talk about today. Incentive, of course, we have 3 weeks left on the incentive program. So everybody, you great procrastinators of the world, you're down to 3 weeks. So, and those of you who are still, you know, putting your pieces together, you have 3 weeks left. So time to really put everything in gear. And the question is, are you committed? That's one of the reasons I'm doing the talk today on commitment, because it's really, for a lot of us, it's the missing link to our abundance in life. You can do it. And I put in the outlines a statement that I sent around about 4 years ago to my downline, because it's absolutely true. It's the power of the mind. I said, if you believe you can or you believe you can't, you will always be right. So keep that in mind. What you believe is what you'll achieve. So if you believe you can't, you will be right. Okay, next, ManaQuest is our next event coming up, and that's in Chicago. I think it's the September 9th, 10th, the weekend after Labor Day weekend. So everybody, you know, make plans to be there. It's going to be a great one. It's a great training extravaganza and a great opportunity to get some great training going on and learn more about ManaTech and other, you know, how to do the business. So get that on your calendar. There's already some published information on the website, so make sure you download that. And of course, bring a bunch of associates with you. For those of you going after Milwaukee, that's a great time to get a lot of your new Milwaukee people on board with you and get them really active and get them into a bringing that from head to heart. That's what these conventions are about. I got some background noise. Could we mute? Star six, people. I got a telephone call in the background. Thank you. Clemmer, the next thing is just the Clemmer Personal Mastery. We got Clemmer's coming back to Dallas. For those of you around this area, we have a Personal Mastery, and of course they're all over the country. I just continue to advocate everybody take a look at that. Great chance to get some terrific self-development. And what is, go back to the heart and soul. You guys know about Kiyosaki. He wrote Rich Dad, Poor Dad. What's the name of that book? Business for People who like People. The Business Guide for People Who Like People, is that the name of it? Boy, come off the top of my head and I can't remember. I'm digging in my library as we speak. It's called The Business School for People Who Like Helping People. In that book, Kiyosaki says the number one reason he loves network marketing is because of the amount of self-development involved in the network marketing industry. Yeah, Tim, was that you in the background? Got it. Okay, I knew if I ran to my library, I'd find it. Yeah, okay, thanks. So anyway, great book, great recommendation. And of course, we know that that's, you know, a lot of people out there, Donald Trump, Kiyosaki, they said if they lost everything they had today, the number one thing they'd do is jump back into network marketing. And Kiyosaki's reason? Because of the massive amount of self-development. So make sure you're committing to personal growth. That's the greatest investment that you can make. Because if you can make an investment in yourself so that you can be better, a better person, a better human being, you can stretch yourself further, you can get outside your comfort zone, you're going to make major differences in the world. So anyway, okay, let's jump in. Let's talk about what is commitment, since that's my favorite word. Commitment, whoo, big word. Some people look at it and they want to, probably we only have half as many people as we normally have on this call today. There's a lot of shying away from the word commitment in our society today, for many reasons, none of them good by any means, but there are many reasons why people do. The word commitment, and if you look definitionally, you can look up in a dictionary and find language like an agreement or pledge to do something in the future. Examples of commitments range from A to Z. Every day we probably make, you know, 100 different commitments on a daily basis for those of us that don't avoid them like the plague. A classic commitment is marriage. Of course, we make the commitment until death do us part. Today we make the commitment in marriage and the vows don't include until death do us part. Many people write their own vows because they want to write that part out of it, because maybe they think if it doesn't work I can get a divorce, you know. I mean, we it's really hilarious what we say and what we commit to today. And I'm not picking on anyone by any means who's gotten divorced. I've been divorced. I'm on my second marriage. But I'm just suggesting we take a really hard look at some of this behavior in our society and start examining what is it about commitment that we just don't get. business, a lot of our business things that we do. We make commitments to people. We make commitments to do things. We make commitments to get letters out. We make commitments to call people back. How many of you every day like get, say, oh, I'll call you back later this afternoon, and you don't call the person back? And some of you say, well, Mary Jo, that's not so important. What do you mean it's not so important? It might not be so important to you, but you made a commitment to somebody. The other person could be waiting by the phone for 4 hours, and you have no idea. And you could, and then I hear people tell me, well, that's their problem. I said, what do you mean it's their problem? It's their problem that they understand what the word commitment means, and they trust you for the words coming out of your mouth. So critical for us to look at how we're using and how flimsy we are with the language we throw around and what we commit to and don't commit to. And really get really crystal clear, people, about what commitment is. What does commitment mean to you? And are you one of these people that commitments are totally flexible and that's the way you run your life? Or are you somebody that your word means something? Your choice. Children, here's a great story too. I mean, I remember hearing this in a Clemmer's class one time where they talked about this dad. They said, okay, anyone have like commitments that they've made that they feel they haven't really done? And one guy raised his hand in the class, and he was a father of two boys. And he said, well, I tell my kids, you know, from time to time, I'll say, okay, because they always bug me about reading stories. These were two little kids he had. They bug me about reading stories to them, to read them to bed at night. And I go, okay, yeah, yeah. And then I'll get busy doing something, or something's on TV, or I'm at work and I have something comes up and I don't make it home. And he says, it's no big deal. And it's incredible. Think of those two little kids upstairs. Daddy said he was going to read a story to me for me to go to bed. And they're sitting up in their beds at night, holding their eyes open with their little bitty hands, just trying every possible way they can to stay awake long enough for Daddy to come up and read him a story to bed. And after they do this, night after night after night, and Dad never shows up, what finally happens to these two little kids? The result is something like this. I don't believe anything my daddy tells me, because he lies to me. How about this as a result, parents? I'm not worthy, because my dad doesn't even think it's worth his time to come up here and read me a story, so I'm not worthy. What happens to these kids' self-esteem? What happens to their relationship with you as a father, as a parent? You see what commitments we take so lightly? Well, those little children, I mean, talk about children, they don't have a chance to take them lightly, because that's all they know. All they know is Dad said he was going to come up and read me a story to bed. So do you want to establish that in your children's lives for the rest of their lives, that either commitments mean nothing, I can't trust my parents, I'm not worthy, their self-esteem goes down the tube? Which one of those programs, or all of the above, did you want them to convict themselves to at 3, 4, 5, and 6 years old? But nonetheless, that's our society today. We see people do that all the time and they blow it off. Incentives, that's another way. Everybody goes, I commit to being in Cancun in November. How many people, is that a commitment or is it just a whim, a wish? What is the language around that? What is that about you that you love to commit to things but never perform them? Because again, if you believe you can or you believe you can't, you always will be right. So if you commit to something, it'll happen. And that's the difference, is what is that commitment? Are you really truly pledging, committing to doing something? And what's keeping you from making that happen? Another word for commitment that comes out really big and strong is Napoleon Hill's book. Some of you might have read it. I won't go into victim language. I chose to read it last week a week and a half ago, as part of a coaching group I'm doing. So from cover to cover, I went back and read Napoleon Hill's book. And it's a little outdated, but nonetheless, it was just kind of fun to read anyway. But it's got some great, great substance to it. And a lot of you know the story of Jet. How many of you know the story about Jet? I mean, the number one associate in Manitech, multimillionaire many times over, that when he was like, and I'm not totally accurate on this, so don't quote me percentage-wise, but when he was like in his, 12, 14, something like that, years old, he read this book like 20 times in a row. I mean, that's all he did. He read it, and he went back, and he reread it, and he went back, and he reread it. And coming out of the poverty zones of Los Angeles, he committed to himself. He said, after reading and reading and rereading and rereading, he realized that it was just a choice that he had to make to get out of what his life was going to be like if he stayed where he was. to create riches. And he made a commitment that he'd be a millionaire by the age of 21. And he did it. And of course, now he's a multi-millionaire and beautiful home in Maui and just, I mean, incredible life he has today. But he made the commitment. Because in Think and Grow Rich, the word, instead of the word commitment, he doesn't use specifically, he uses the word burning desire, which is a true way of defining commitment, a burning desire. And in Napoleon Hill's book, he says the main difference between those who succeed in life and those who fail is the lack or the presence of a burning desire. Do you have that commitment? Are you totally committed? That's the difference between what, and a lot of you probably know Napoleon Hill's story. He was actually hired by Carnegie to go out and study the successful people of the world and say, what, you know, analyze it for me. And he spent 20-some years analyzing what makes a person successful versus not, and that was the sum and substance of the background behind the book Think and Grow Rich. He just didn't sit down one day and write it. He researched it and communicated with wealthy people all over the United States, all over, and came back after all that research and put together the book Think and Grow Rich. So anyway, burning desire, do you have it? Do you not have it? Is it lacking in your life? Is it existent in life? Brian Klemmer, if you do any of that kind of work, you know his terminology he uses is the word intent. Intent instead of, because we use that word really loosely today too. Oh, I intend to do it. We use it as a wish or a want versus something that's a true commitment. An unquestionable, undeniable commitment behind something is intent. It's undeniable. It's not questionable. It's not a matter of is it going to happen or not. Intent is it's you're going to make it happen. Intent. In fact, in Klemmer's work, he's got that formula in his book. If how-tos were enough, we'd all be skinny, rich, and happy. He talks about intent plus mechanism equals result. So how do you increase your intent so that intent equals result? And because truly, when you have an undying commitment, a burning desire for something, mechanisms will appear everywhere. I've seen that just in the last couple of weeks with the people that said, okay, Mary Jo, I'm committing to win the trip to Cancun. I had one gal who was 60 points away. I was on the phone with her this morning, and she's got 4 points left. And that was in a week and a half, 2 weeks. So it's, you know, when you put yourself up there and say, I am totally committed to something, mechanisms appear everywhere, everywhere. The means of doing it, because there's zillions of mechanisms on the face of the earth. Just like there's zillions of mechanisms of how you grow your Manatech business. Some of you go, oh, but if you're not committed to growing your Manatech business, then you probably are coming up shy on how to do that. I'm getting a lot of flack. Could I get somebody to star six? Okay, Jack. I'm going to star five. So now I can't hear you, but we cut out the, hopefully. I got an echo. Does everybody hear the echo? Sorry, people. Can everyone hear that echo when I star fived? So somebody's on my line now. Okay, I'm going to try to star five again. Hello? Whoever's on this line, could you star six? Okay. I still think the echo's there. All right, this is the best I can do, people, so we'll go with it. Anyway, so in Brian Klemmer's work, he talks about intent plus mechanism equals result. And through that formula, boy, I can't even talk. Hello? Okay. Could everybody star six, please? I can't get the person off my line. And if you want to know if you're on or not, okay. Thank you. Now I got somebody driving the car down the street. Okay, good, thanks. All right, so intent plus mechanism equals result. Like I said, intent will equal result because a mechanism will always appear. So raise that level of intent. And the whole concept in a lot of Brian's work is, how do I increase that level of intent? And that's just something you work on by visualization, language, affirmations. All of that will help build and increase your level of intent. Putting something at risk increases intent. Boy, sorry people about the echo. I can't do anything about it. The next step is limitations. Are there any limitations on what... Are there Can you call the service on getting massive, massive amount of, hello? I star fived, it still comes. Here's star five, listen. Are there any limitations? Can you still hear the echo? See, I can't hear you, whether you're hearing the echo, but I can hear it. But I'll stay on star five for you, but the echo to me is still there. Okay, I have Lydia calling the service, so we'll try to straighten it out, but people bear with us today. Okay, limitations. Are there any limitations? Now let's start looking. Commitment. Are there any limitations on commitment? Absolutely not. And I give you a couple of quotes from Napoleon Hill's book. There are no limitations to the mind except those we acknowledge. Both poverty and riches are the offspring of thought. So those are the things that we create by our own thoughts. There are no limitations. You choose around failure and defeat. No one's ever defeated until defeat has been accepted as a reality. So it's really choices we make. We have so many opportunities out there. We have so much newness, especially today. As you know, every day things change in our society. In fact, it's one of the things that they attribute the level of stress in our society to be so great, because we're changing so quickly. We have changes. We change, you know, technology, ideas, methods, inventions, jobs, literature, spouses. I mean, people get divorced all the time and change new spouses, new marketing, new ways. We have so many changes that are causing greater and greater stress. So we don't find that peace in our life because we're constantly under that state of change. But the wonderful thing about people at peace with yourself, with your world, the changes are just phenomenal opportunities. So you look at new technology, new ideas, new methods. All of these are just huge opportunities around how you can start creating new things in your life, new abundance, new wealth, new results in your life. So just like this morning when we got on the phone, we talked about the new CDs that DupliPack has around autism. And a lot of people got ideas from that. How can I increase my business around utilizing those new CDs and those new marketing materials? We heard from Amy Martin about attending the state chiropractic conventions. Oh my gosh, what a gigantic opportunity. And she comes from so much abundance instead of scarcity today that she's cross-lining with four other organizations to help support the convention so that they can all get leads from it. Because it's not about, there's a limited number. She lives with life with acknowledging the greatness and the abundance that's out there. So it's about really looking at the abundance of the opportunities that present themselves. So there is no limitation. The limitations we put on our commitments are limitations we do to ourselves. It's what you believe you can achieve. And it's about where you let your mind go to get there. Now some people get into distinguishing, are there big commitments and small commitments? And some people buy into this concept. They say, well, Mary Jo, marriage is a big commitment. Telling somebody I'm going to call them back is a small commitment. Do you see how people can make that analysis? But the problem inherent in that kind of analysis is, let's go look at what is it that you lose in breaking a commitment. When you start looking at breaking commitments with people, I don't care how small you might think that commitment is. Just not telling somebody that you're going to call them back, and the fact that you don't do it can break trust, gratitude, appreciation, friendship. You can lose money over it. You lose your integrity because the person now doesn't believe you anymore because your word wasn't any good. So you're giving up all these phenomenal characteristics, and the laundry list of those characteristics, I put them on the outline under 3B, but the laundry list of the characteristics that you sacrifice by failing to meet a commitment is overwhelming. And it's all about what's at the heart and core of building sound relationships in your life. So how can we be so frivolous to throw these things away? Why do we just take for granted that it's okay to break commitments? I don't understand that. I think you need to review that for your life. Sometimes people take the position, they say, well, Mary Jo, that's just the way society is today. Well, what kind of an excuse is that? What is it about your life that society sets the standards on how you operate? I'm going to tell you as a person that if you make commitment and you meet every commitment you make in life, you're going to surround yourself with incredible people, because you're going to be the type of person that's going to stand out in a field of a lot of mediocre lifestyles. People are going to look for people like you who they can trust your word, they can trust what you say, they believe in you, they rely on you, they want to be just like you. You become a mentor to them of what they need to achieve or not need to try to achieve. So huge difference, commitment oriented, not commitment oriented. Your choice on which way you take that. Why is it important in your Manatech business? Oh my gosh, because the core of every one of your relationships in Manatech are all based on those same characteristics. Love, friendship, trust, gratitude, appreciation, integrity. If you don't have that with your Manatech associates in your downline, I'm going to suggest you don't have anything. Because that's the core of relationships with people. And you want to build the most phenomenal relationships you can with the people in your organization. It's about building relationships with people. It's about being able to be every time somebody calls you, not waiting to see, call waiting to see who it is because you know you screwed up or you didn't talk to them, or avoidance tactics because you're ashamed of something you did. We have a lot of people living in shame today because we create shame because we don't live by our word. We don't live by our commitments. So, you know, come from commitment. Become a commitment junkie so that you go above and beyond the call of duty, every opportunity you have. And watch what happens and watch the shift in your life and the shift in your comfort zone and the shift in your dealing with your own reality. I do a lot of coaching with lots of different people, and I'm going to tell you that I got people that live their lives avoiding reality. Every day of their life, they run away from their reality. Why? Because what kind of a reality did they create? What you need to do is look at the reality you're creating and make better choices around it so that you can, instead of coming from a superficial level, which is living some other life other than reality, that you can step into your reality, grab hold of it. Don't let it depress you. Don't let it get you down. It doesn't steal from you. It's just a concept of acknowledging where you are so that you can then project where you're going. You can create the structural tension between where you are and where you're going. But you can live an incredible life in your own reality. Instead of playing a game that it's something else. And thus choosing superficiality. Choosing not to grapple with what's real. It's all about growth. It's all about stepping into it. It's creating your life. Your life as a piece of art. Creating it instead of fleeing from it. But commitment's a big part of that. Because when you don't meet commitment, you don't step into that with integrity, you lose integrity, and then you don't want to live in that reality because you've created a lot of murky stuff. And some of you could look at your life today maybe and say, oh man, Mary Jo, it's so murky, I don't even know where to start cleaning it up. You know what? It doesn't matter where you start. What matters is you do start. That's the most important thing. Take the dart, throw it at the elephant, or, you know, as people say, how do I eat an elephant? I take one bite at a time. Excuse me. So if what you've created is so murky you don't know how to start, just pick a spot and start taking one bite at a time and just keep working on it. And you could say, but Mary Jo, I can't see the light at the end of the tunnel. I don't care if you can't see the light. All you got to do is keep the perseverance up. In fact, you know, here's a great one for you. Make a commitment to step back into commitment. No matter what that looks like, make the commitment to step back into commitment. So commit today to clean up that reality for yourself and just make a commitment. When you make a commitment around it, do you have to see the light at the end of the tunnel? Absolutely not. Because if you're committed, you're going to stick to it no matter what. Through thick, through thin, your perseverance flows with commitment. It's a part of commitment. So so that's what it... And now I have other people. This is another one. Some of you might relate to this. And you might have associates in your organization who relate to it. There are people that really fear the word commitment. It's not part of the vocabulary. And it gets to be pretty crazy when people operate from that realm. And then they wonder why they don't have success in their life. Because at the heart of success is what? Remember, we start off with the opening premise. We talk about it in Clemmer's book and in Napoleon Hill and Stephen Covey, is the concept of, you know, accepting failure. The concept of commitment, that people who are committed, commitment is what makes the difference between somebody who's successful and somebody who fails, is the concept of commitment. So we have people out there, follow this through, this cycle, that they put themselves through. They don't commit. One of the reasons people choose not to commit is because they don't want to fail at it, or they don't want to let somebody down. So they just don't make commitments. Well, isn't it funny? If commitment's at the core of success, and you feel, if you don't commit because you're afraid of failure, what are you doing? You're accepting failure because of your fear of failure. Does everybody get that? You're accepting failure because of your fear of failure. Your fear of failing a commitment makes you choose not to commit at all, which is just laying down and saying, okay, I give up, I'm going to be a failure. That doesn't make any sense. But it's a competing commitment that happens in your life, and if you don't see it, then you won't move forward. But the first step to any change is awareness. So look at yourself. If you're one of those people that avoids commitments like the plague, start evaluating why is it that you're avoiding commitments, and is it because you're afraid of failure, yet you're really creating failure by avoiding commitments? It's a vicious cycle that you get in that never gets you off of square one. So open your eyes to that. Understand that all we need is sufficient imagination to see that success, abundance in life in all ways, cannot be left to chance, good fortune, or to luck. If you're playing, you know, the lottery system, so be it. But that's not how success or abundance is achieved. So commitment is a necessary ingredient for a successful life. Some of the issues that can't exist, and I started making this laundry list this, when I was doing this outline, and I got really fed up. You can see at the bottom of it, I want A, B, C, D, and then I actually two C's. Anyway, I got to the, finally I said, I can't even continue writing these because they got me so depressed. What cannot exist? Lack of persistence. You have to be totally persistent in order to have commitment. A lack of passion, because passion's required. To be committed to something, you always have to have a passion at it. It has to be a heartfelt. It has to come from within you. It's got to be something you desire, a definite, distinct, you know, desire around it, with is what passion is triggered. So laziness can't be surrounding commitment, because it's not something that you come and go. It doesn't. It's not here today, gone tomorrow. It's something, and it's not something you put off and procrastinate around. So laziness around it doesn't fit. Indifference. Commitment is, what's the, if you gave a counter definition to commitment, what's the opposite of commitment? You'd say indifference, right? And that can't exist. And lack of ambition. You have to be ambitious. You want to create something. And ambition isn't tied to money, people. It's tied to what you want to create in your life. What do you want to create for others? What kind of contribution do you want to make in this world? Boy, is it critical that we all step up and make contributions in this world. If we keep looking at what we're creating today, we know something new has to happen. New and different. So again, but I stopped there, but I could have gone on for another page and a half of what needs not to exist for you to have commitment in your life, but they're all pretty negative things. So cross those off your list. If you fit into those categories, boy, circle it and say no more. Start drafting affirmations to support you and moving forward to establish good habits. So, and then I put under five, I just said tools to help me improve in the area of commitment. What can I do different, Mary Jo, to help me be a better, have a greater commitment? Well, in Napoleon Hill's book, again, go back to Think and Grow Rich, he lists a six-step process to build or enhance the burning desire in your life, your burning desire, and in his chapter on desire. So I think it's chapter two in his book. So just dig out that book and look in there, and you'll see the six-step process. A lot of it has to do with just being very clear, having clarity around what you're committed to. Some of you will say, I'm committed to being presidential. Well, that's great. But if you don't have clarity around, like, time and, you know, and then, okay, clarity. When are you committed to being presidential in Manatech? Or when are you committed to being a national director in Manatech? You can make a commitment to be national director in Manatech by a date. You got to put a date on it. There has to be timeliness around it, because otherwise there's no clarity there, because there's no time to it. And it's not gonna engage you into action. You need a plan of attack. You need to have plans on how to get there. So you need to build a plan to make that happen. Because you don't just say, I commit, and then go off and chase your tail for 6 months. There's got to be a plan of attack. And I love my business action planner. I have this 3-month program that I use with people, and it's very effective. And it's been very effective for people who commit to it, that they see results. They commit to a business action plan. They say, okay, in 3 months, here's all my possible dynamics in my downline. Here's the, you know, actions we're going to take, and here's the results we're going to affect. And you do it for 3 months only, because that gives you a chunk of time that you can really grab your hands around it. You can really get your mind focused on it. It allows you greater clarity and greater focus, because it's a shorter term period. So get that focus and clarity around a business action plan that's going to help support you in your commitments. Build and start small. I always tell people when they have problems with commitments and they have problems with follow through, start small. Don't make a commitment. I'm going to be presidential in Manotick. Mary Jo, you said it's unlimited, that limitations don't exist. So I'm going to be presidential by September 1st. Well, if you just signed up last week, aren't you being a little bit, stepping out there? When you've had problems all your life making commitments and following through on commitments, why are you going to chomp down on one that's like almost impossible to do? So start off with something small so that you can reach a level of confidence, so you can get some clarity around how you can grow the exercise around being committed to something, and then just start growing from there. Make one chomp at a time, make one bit at a time, make a commitment to do something, accomplish it, make small little steps to reinforce you, and then watch the challenges that occur around the small little steps. Oh my gosh, we have challenges around every commitment we make, don't we? I mean, there's always something that comes up, something that we can use as an excuse, something that goes awry, something that happens that steps in our way of that commitment. But if we always come from excuses, then we're back into what? Never stepping into commitment. So, but when you make small ones, you can start just seeing, just even the small ones, you're going to have little things pop up and you can say, oh man, I used to fall by that excuse. I used to use that excuse. I used to, and just get rid of excuses. Get the word excuse out of your vocabulary. Excuse out of the vocabulary. Just like the word try. Commitment isn't about try. Commitment is about committing. It's not about wish and want. It's about making a commitment to make something happen. And then another way, having an accountability partner is a great way to really develop a practice around commitment. Get an accountability partner who sits back and you can talk to them about it every day, every week, whatever you want to structure in that accountability partner. But they're the ones that are there to support you. And they're the ones that say, okay, here's the 6 commitments you told me you made this week. Where are they? At the end of the week, they sit down with you and say, what happened? And when you say, well, my mother-in-law came in town and I didn't get, you can go, why are you coming up with excuses? Did your mother-in-law truly, absolutely, undeniably, you were totally lost control of your life when your mother-in-law walked in? So they can start asking you questions that are going to allow you to perceive what really is going on in your heart and what's really going on in your life. Are you truly, because most of the time when we come up excuses for things that we didn't accomplish, and I find this true in my life, when I come up with an excuse, when I start out with an excuse coming out of my mouth in my life about why I didn't accomplish something I committed to, it always goes back to, you know what, Mary Jo? You weren't committed to doing it in the first place. You made that commitment or you made that statement without really being committed. So what's that all about? Because intent equals result is true both ways. So for those of you who said, I'm going to win the Cancun trip, and you intended to and you committed to it, and you didn't win it, or you haven't won it yet, but you still got 3 weeks left, which is a good chance that you can still go out there and get it if you're truly committed to it. But I'm going to suggest to you, if you committed to winning Cancun and you didn't win it, I'm going to suggest to you, you weren't committed in the first place. So start evaluating what it is that why I can't get committed to something. What is it going to take me to do that? So accountability partners are huge. And the last tool I put in there was take the heart. Every time you don't make a commitment, and most of the times, who's the number one person we don't follow through on commitments with? And of course, I don't have you all on the line because I put myself on mute to get rid of the echo. The number one person we break most commitments with is ourselves, which is really incredible. What does that say about your own self-worth? What kind of statement are you saying to yourself about you being worthy if you're the one you keep denying commitments to? That's a gigantic statement, people. And I'm not telling you the world is about you. I'm telling you, you better get your own ducks in a row about your own life and your own worthiness before you go out and try to spill out on others and you try to contribute to others. So, look at that. Who's that commitment you're breaking? And start taking to heart what you're destroying every time you break a commitment. Am I losing trust? Am I losing friends? Am I losing relationships? Am I losing my children? Am I losing my spouse? Am I losing... Well, look at all the things you lose. All the things in the relationship that you're that you're losing that you would love to have in that relationship, but it's because you keep breaking commitment after commitment after commitment. So make a list of some of those things that you've, lost. Okay, now I'd like to... I attached a worksheet. I took myself off of mute. Hopefully, are you all on still? Hello. Yeah, I can hear the noise in the background. Good. Great. I put a worksheet on the back of the outline today to give you something to start working on. Start a new day, a new life. Begin perhaps on small commitments until you make some major behavioral changes that serve you, new habits that'll support you. And then you can start thinking big and committing big, but start small so that you can really make sure. So I just put a commitment worksheet on the back page. You can use it or not use it. You can amend it, do what you'd like, but it just gives you ideas of how to work with the word commitment in your life. My commitment for my Manatech business for 2005 is as follows, and that might mean you might have three. You might say by September 1st, by December 31st, or you might have, I want to get to GPV. You might have a GPV or a sign-ups commitment or whatever it might be, or a leadership level. But make, sit down and say, what is my true commitment? It's not a wish or whim, it's a commitment. What are you committing to create in your Manatech business in 2005? And then the rest of the page on the worksheet goes through just analyzing results in your life, looking at reality, check, looking some of the prices you've paid in the past so you get a real look at, honestly, what you're giving up when you fail to follow through on commitments. What shifts do you need to make differently in order to be committed? So now you're starting to talk about, okay, maybe I'm going to read that Napoleon Hill book, get those 6 steps. I need to find an accountability partner. I just need to start wanting to come from integrity in my own life in a big way instead of being out of integrity with people, you know, and just really I isolate that issue for whatever it is. Everybody has issues around that. And number 5 is listing, again, getting into the plan. What specific actions do I need to take to meet my commitment in number 1 above? And is my plan very clear and very specific to support you? Oh, is it? Again, we have some. Okay. I'm almost done. That's why I took it off. I was just going through the worksheet. But again, on number 5 on that worksheet, it talks about what specific actions do I need to take? You need to have a clear plan. You need to have focus and clarity around the plan of how you're going to affect that difference in your Manatech business. Without focus and clarity around it, you're not going to get there. So commitment requires planning and requires a written plan to have some clarity. Because again, commitment isn't about a wish and whim. It's about, I am going to do this. I am going to create this. That's how I look at it and then create it. And I put at the bottom of the commitment sheet is a good quote from George Zaluki about what is commitment. Doing the thing you said you were going to do long after the feeling you had when you said it has left you. And how many of us can relate to that? Because that's what happens to commitments, isn't it? We get really excited about something, we say we're going to do it, but the feeling leaves us and all of a sudden it's not important anymore. But we forgot that our word stands behind that commitment. Our self-esteem stands behind that commitment. When you break a commitment to yourself, when you say, I'm committed to being a national director in Manatech by September 1st, and you break that commitment, you lose confidence, you lose self-esteem, you lose self-worth, you lose the ability, you even lose the confidence that you can do it. So why are you giving up all these critical parts of your persona? Why are you sacrificing core values just because of failing to follow through a commitment? Wow. Big losses, big sacrifices we make in life when we don't stick to our commitments. So now open the lines and feedback. Anyone want to talk about maybe self-experiences around commitment or what this meant to you? Really, you don't have to say your name, just share with us. Anyone? Hello, is everybody online? Hello? Hello? Oh, yeah, there you are. Okay, great. Okay, good, good, good. Okay, did I scare everybody? Maybe the word just scared everybody away today. Isn't it? Great. Well, share. Why is it scary? Why is it scary? Share. Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. So now you got to dig back and say, wow, where did I let go of that? And what is it about us that we let that go? I mean, we always can think of reasons why it happened, because there's always reasons, aren't there? But maybe the commitment, maybe there's something that really wasn't a commitment. Maybe it really, you really weren't committed to doing it. Or maybe you need to look back and say, you know what? We were committed, and I'm not letting it go now. I'm going to make it right. And a lot of times in our life, we have a second chance to make things right. In fact, most times. There are going to be times we don't, but maybe this is a time you have a second chance. So why not step back into it in a huge way? And I'm going to tell you, if you do that, after you break a commitment, if you step back into it and you go, you know what? I was totally committed. I really wanted to do that. There was no doubt in my mind. I don't know why I let it go, but you know what? I'm going to make it right. And you start today making it right, and you're going to have such an unbelievable feeling of self-gratification and correction and move forward in your life. Because even breaking a commitment like that, when we break commitments in our life, they live with us for a long time. They hound us. They live with us. They keep eating at us. But there's many times you can look at it and is there a way to correct it? Is there a way to make an amends for it? But you got to clean up some of that past so you stop letting it eat you up and stop you from ever believing in yourself again, or that you can trust yourself on making commitments, right? Yeah. Oh yeah, no question, that's true. Because inside your comfort zone, are they really going to cause you to stretch at all? Do you see the difference? If you don't have to stretch to do something, you're like, oh honey, I'm committing to do the dishes today before you get home from work. I mean, no, I'm not trying to bring it down to brass tacks or anything, but you know, you can say, I'm committing to taking a shower every day. Well, geez, you know, that's already a habit in your life, so what big deal is that? You got it. So we can play that game with ourselves, but I'm going to suggest to you that if you have problems with commitments, especially outside your comfort zone, start with just a little bit outside. Start small. Don't get huge. Start small and prove to yourself through accomplishment that you can do that. That's what you need to do. Uh-huh. Oh boy, that's a real tough thing too. It is tough. Yeah, right. And you recognize it's just coming from purely excuses or rationalizations. Yeah, to try to feel good about it. Now, what you need to do now is look back and say, okay, I'm stopping that habit. And just your first step in stopping that is just the total awareness around it. The minute you see that those excuses starting to enter your brain, you stop and you go, you know what? I'm not letting it happen. I'm going to make this happen because I committed to it no matter what. I'm not coming letting excuses. I'm not letting. And because awareness is your first step on change. And boy, when you start getting into rationalizing breaking commitments, it'll run your life. Your word will mean nothing to people because there's always an excuse. You know how it is, people. You work with people in your life that you can say, oh, yeah, sure, she said she was going to do it, but is she really going to do it? And when you have that kind of reputation out there, boy, try to save yourself from that, okay? It's a hard, it'll break you down. It'll break down trust in relationships that you have, and you don't want to sacrifice your core values. That's for sure. Uh-huh. Right. Right. Amen. And what's that all about? It's about belief and faith. And that's big part of it. When you commit to things, you need to have faith that you're gonna have the result. A lot of you don't commit because you don't have faith you're going to get the result. You have to believe in yourself. Oh, that was a tough one.